You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Good evening, 7 p.m. service! My name is Mav. I am not a pastor, but I am one of your campus missionaries here. That means that here in Victory, we honor God and make disciples, and we believe that we are to change the campus and change the world. Right now, we are having this series right here entitled Unwavering. Unwavering means steadfast. It means steady, at the same time, fastened. So we are going to talk about here about faith and how are we going to have that faith that is unwavering, that whatever happens in our life, we are still to have that faith in God. We are not going to backslide. We are not going to look to the left or to the right, but we are going to continue walking on with God. So last week, we talked about faith and relationships. We discovered that in order for us to have a relationship with God, or right now, if we have that relationship with God already, it was actually never you initiated that relationship. But in the first place, God initiated that relationship. Our relationship with God has always been God initiated. And in order for us to trust or have faith in God, is for us to have a relationship with Him. Now, who among you here is willing to trust someone you don't know? Who among you? Wala, di ba? Even if that person is good-looking like me, di ba? If I say, give me all your money right now, would you believe me or would you trust me? And I will make that money 10 times what it is right now. Would you believe me? Wala, di ba? Of course. Now, how do we get to know a person right now? The person beside you, how do you get to know that person if you don't know that person yet? Diba? We ask questions, we get to talk to that person, conversations and whatnot. In the olden times, katong times sa mga old, they have biographies. Are you familiar with biographies? Yes? Or diba? They are write-ups about the stories of a person, a famous person. And right here, I searched the internet called Google for Tagalogs, and this person right here is in the top 10 of the most famous biographies. Who among you here don't know this person? Wala, di ba? You don't know this person. Okay, bro, this is Abraham Lincoln. This person is an American statesman and a lawyer and became the 16th president of the United States of America. Now, he served in the Civil War, and it has become the bloodiest war, and in terms of morale, it has been a struggle in that day. But he persevered, and in doing so, he preserved the Union, abolished slavery in the United States, strengthened the federal government, and modernized the economy. That right there, ladies and gentlemen, is Mr. Abraham Lincoln. Now, in this day and age right now, the digital age, how do you get to know a person whom you cannot actually talk to? Diba? Our social media profiles. Like, we stalk them. Right here is a guy. Right here, that's on Instagram. In order for us to get to know the person, we search the Instagram feed or the Facebook feed of the person. We get to see what he likes, what he shares, what he reposts, what he posts, and what he is all about. And there's even a time right now that you thought that you know the person simply because your friends on Facebook, you see his or her activities, his likes, his morals, his or her values. And when you get to see that person, you seem like, I don't know this person pala. How many of you here have experienced that? That you thought you know a person simply because you always see him on your feed. Wala. Ako rin gihapon? Thank you, Lord. I'm unique. Welcome to the digital age. So that's how we get to know a person in this digital age that we have right now. Now, I have said a while ago that in order for us to have a relationship with God, or in order for us to have faith in God, we need to have a relationship with God. But we cannot have a relationship with God if we cannot begin to know who God is. Now, how do we get to know God? Who among you here have sinned against God? Wala. Who among you here have sinned against God? Wala. Wow, perfect! Ka-perfect ba, oy? Wala yung senior dire, ako lang. Oh, I think I'm in the wrong place. Okay. So that is what we are going to talk about here tonight. So we are going to tackle on the faith and the Word of God. Simply because in order for us to get to know God, we are to go back to His Word. Tonight, we are going to read Genesis 12 verses 1 to 4. So this is the call of Abraham. It says here, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old, and when he departed from Haran. Now what is the Word of God? In John 1, verse 1, it says here, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So basically, the Word that we have right now, the Bibles, I really encourage you, this right here is the very Word of God. Or the Bible is more than just a collection of stories, poems, and letters. I tell you, this book right here is very interesting. The Bible literally means it is a library. It is composed of several books, and most of them are letters, others are poems, others are stories. And I tell you, if you're going to read the Bible right here, you're going to be amazed with the stories that are so exciting, and you will be caught up, and you will always find what's the next chapter. How many of you here watches K-drama? Oh, I see that hand. K-dramas have long episodes, but at the end, there's always a thrill. Wala, unsa sunod. Di ba? Kasi makarelate. Wala. Kuhan rin nyo. Pangako sa'yo pa inyong naabtan. Okay. So, that is the same with the Bible. Every time you read the Bible, there's always a great thrill at the end. And even as great as that is, there's more to it than that. It is the inspired written Word of God. In order for us to get to know Christ and put our faith in Him, we are to discover His promises and the things that are in the Bible. How many of you here believes that God has promises for each one of us? Okay, that's good. But who among you here has a specific promise that you hold on to from the Word of God? Sometimes it's easy for us to say, "I believe, Lord, that you have a promise for me." But we do not actually know what that promise is simply because we don't open our Bibles. We make it so sacred that it is right in the corner of our house, covered with plastic sometimes, and we don't let it be nga maabugan siya, nga mahugaw siya. Guess what? We don't even open it. But this right here is a miracle. This is a person that we are to get to know. And this person has great promises for everything that you have right now. Now, a person is known for his works, actions, and promises. The same with brands. Now, who among you here is familiar with this one? Chicks to go. Familiar? It says here that masarap kahit walang sauce. That's the promise of Chooks to Go. Home you here, lami ang Chooks to Go for you. Come on now. But another brand here says, this is real. It says here, mas masarap pag may sauce. Home you here have tried real. Is this your reality? Right here? It's actually better if there's no sauce. That's a great promise. And some of us like it, Chooks to Go. Some of us like real. But there's another brand right here that does not promise anything, but it is very honest. And this right here is, you know this brand? Uling Roasters. It says here, "Di raw masyadong masarap, pero pwede na." Oh, di ba? So honest. So that is how we get to know brands with their slogans. But how are we going to know the promises of God? Again, through the Bible. The Bible is the very promise of God. For Abraham right here, as we have read verse 12, We have seen a lot of promises by God. It says here, I will show you a land. I will make you a great nation. I will bless your name and make it great. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. Nahuha mo yung here right now. Okay, sige, Mav, you said na I need to know the promises of God and hold on to it. And I'm telling you, this right here is a promise that we could actually hold on to. It says here, who among you here would love this? I will show you a land that is flowing with so much milk and honey, a land that is prosperous, that you're going to become wealthy, you're going to have the things that you like. Who among you here wants that? Come on now. Who wants here to become a great nation? You want to become a king, a princess for that matter? Or who wants here na you simply want this, the last promise right here. Mav, I want this promise. I will curse those who curse you. Hashtag bitter. Katungkuan, ako ang crush nga, wala ko gi-crush pod. Who here wants that promise? Diba? These promises, we can hold on to them as well. And these are the very plans of God for your life. It's not only for Abram or the people in the Bible or the full-time staff here, for pastors, for campus missionaries, the leaders. But I'm telling you right now, the promise that God has in His Word is a promise for each one of us right here, right now. He wants you to prosper. He does not want you to suffer because He loves you so much. Do you know that? He has a lot of promise not to leave us nor forsake us. That every step that we take, every land that we step in is going to become our inheritance. That's a great promise of God. And we are to hold on to them. There's a lot of things in our life that are impossibilities. That we can say that, Mav, you're telling me that God has this promise for me, but my current circumstance is this. You say that God wants me to be blessed, but right now, it's very different. It's the opposite of blessed. But I tell you here, there's examples here. In architecture, how many of you here are architecture students? Let's pretend that we are architecture students. And let's see here, in the olden times, these buildings right here are impossibilities. Say, for example, the Sydney Opera House. Once I wanted to go to Sydney, you can see here that the design is so intricate, it's so flamboyant. Grabe, big words. It's bold, it's different from the normal box of buildings that we see. How many of you here are familiar with CADs? Computer-aided designs? Wala. Okay, sige, let's just pretend that we know all these things. And this actually here is a winner of the contest that was held in 1955. I know that last night when I was preparing this. At the first glance, seeing this, diba, it seems impossibility to create. How do you create a building that is like clams? But guess what? It is right now a truth, a fact for that matter. And you can see it. If you're going to Sydney, Australia, then this is one of the sites you would want to visit. Another example right here is the Gherkin. Is that actually a building, Mav? Yes, it is. And it is designed so that the wind can actually pass through for ventilation and stuff. Another here is the Burj Khalifa. Anyone familiar with the Burj Khalifa? What I like about this building right here is that it has one of the highest swimming pools in the world. That's on the 76th floor. You know how many floors that is? 76. 76 floors. Isn't it amazing to be in that place? Ligo-ligo ka and ka-level ka sa mga birds. Mas taas pa ka sa birds. Who mo here would want that? As impossible as they were right now, they are one of the great wonders of the world. Not really wonders, but a great sight to see. In the same way, it's true with God. We can believe and have faith in God simply because the Word of God is trustworthy, the Word of God is sure, and the Word of God is beneficial for all of us. In fact, that is the promise of God. The moment that we go on to His Word, He is going to bless us. The same way He promised Adam, right? And lastly, this is the will of God. The things that He promised, how can we be sure that all these things will actually come to pass? Simply because this is the will of God. Whatever God wills, it comes to pass. So if He tells you that you are going to be blessed, you're going to prosper, I tell you, you are indeed going to be, simply because it is His will. No matter what you do, no matter what or where you go, no matter how much you say no to God, His promise will always come to pass. He has a great promise to reach out the world, and it will always come to pass. The question is, would you want to be part of that plan? Would you want to be part of that will? I tell you, faith is the best. Inaintopad, best. Faith is the best. So, I encourage you, take note of this. This is actually an acronym that we are going to discuss today. First of all, faith is based on God's word. Genesis 12:1 says, "Now the Lord said to Abraham." Did you know that God always has something to say? Sometimes we have a lot of questions to God. Lord, why am I having difficulty right now? Lord, why am I the one suffering the consequences of the sins of my neighbor, my parents, or whoever? Lord, I have given you my life, but Lord, why am I experiencing these things? Why do I have the sickness? Why am I not prospering in life? We have a lot of questions to God. But who among you here dared listen to the word of God? If we are to give a lot of questions to God, how dare us not listen to the answers? The reason why we are still suffering right now is that we do not go to the truth. We always believe the lies and not the truth. Why? That is the nature of man. God speaks to us always. But are we actually listening? John 8:47 says right here, "Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." Who among you here is not of God? Don't raise your hand. Now, sometimes, in order for us to have that unwavering faith, we are to cling on to the unwavering God, that steadfast God, that whatever circumstance or reality that you have right now, His truth will always prevail. Now, the question is, where do you put your faith? It's not actually a question if you worship or have faith in something. The question is, where do you put it? Is it on your ability to create wealth? Is it actually on your wealth? Is it on the person sitting beside you? Is it on your relationships? Is it in the person that will tell you are good, you're beautiful, you're all this and stuff? But I tell you, all these things, eventually, without God, will falter. Bisagin sa pana, who is the best person in mind right now, eventually that person is bound to fail you. Wherever you put your security apart from God, eventually it will fail you. And that is why we have a lot of issues in our life right now. The issue is not actually whether or not we are going to be blessed, but it's a question of lordship. Whom do you put your trust into? Again, I tell you, God actually has a lot of answers for your questions right now. The Bible right here has all the promises, has all the answers for your questions. All. If you don't see the answer to your question reading the Word of God, come back to me and let's grab some coffee. But God always has something to say to you. But I tell you, what is God actually saying to you right now? Do you know what God is saying to you right now? God always has something to say to us, but are we listening? E, the best, diba? B is based on God's words. E is expressed in obedience. Verse 4, in Genesis chapter 12, verse 4 says, "So Abram went, as the Lord had told him." That story is actually an immediate response towards a God that has actually spoken to Abraham. But let me backtrack a while for a background story for this one. Terah, the father of Abraham, God spoke to Terah, his father. And Terah, coming from the land of Ur, That's where they came from, the land of Ur. And God has promised to Terah that He is going to bless them. Maybe the same promise as He gave Abraham, but they are to go to Canaan. Ur actually is a prosperous place. That's a comfortable place for them to be in. They are rich. I don't know if they're famous, but they are comfortable. But as they journeyed towards the place of promise that is Canaan, they went to this place they called Haran. And in that place, they settled. It's not the settled that they rested for a while, for a few minutes, but they stayed there for 5 years. They became comfortable. I don't know what happened, but they settled. God has a promise for them right there. It's the best of the best, but they settled in the place of Haran. And the same story is true for all of us right here. That the moment that we get to know who God is, we claim His promises. And God actually has promises for all of us. But in the place where God promised you, in the place where He promised, there is a journey called waiting. And we say, yes, Lord, I'm going to go. Yes, Lord, I'm going to obey Your commands. Yes, Lord. Oh, Lord, I'm so tired. Lord, I know Your promise is the best, but right now, where I am is actually good. I'm comfortable. I can actually live this way, Lord. The question is, now that we have heard, are we actually ready to obey? We know what's right, but why do we always settle for what's left? We know what's right, but sometimes, why do we always settle for what's left? Because it's comfortable? I don't know. There's actually a lot of reason for Abraham to say no when he was called at Haran. Diba? He was already 75 years old. And there's famine in the land. And he's already tired and all these things. But the moment that God spoke to him, what was his response again? Abraham went. And I told you a while ago that it's very hard for us to trust someone that we don't know. But I tell you, the moment that God spoke to Abraham, something changed in his life. The same way with us right here, believers. The moment that we got to know Christ, we said that this is it. This is the thing that I have been waiting for. This is the assurance of the things that I have actually hoped for. When you encounter God personally, not because of a bridge or a secondhand information, personally, face to face, the moment that you actually have that genuine personal relationship with God, nothing will ever be the same again. Your mindset, your problems will still be there. Your mindset, it's going to be different. Simply because right now, you are going to have hope. Thirdly, faith is security in God. Remember the promises of God a while ago? It says here, the I wills of God. This is actually the promise of God for all of us. Ako personally, this is my experience. Upon reading all these things, the I wills of God is not actually the thing that I see, but the use that God is selling, I will show you a land. But what I heard is that He is going to bless me and He is going to give me the ability and it's going to be based on that ability for me to have that promise. Am I making sense right here? But I tell you, it's never about your knowledge of God's command and the ability to fulfill them all. It's always about God. If right now you are actually obeying God and you can tell straight to me that you are actually walking in the right path and you are still experiencing hardships and trials, you are actually at a good place. You might not have it yet, but the will of God is for you to have His promise. It's always about God. And His command for us is not to make miracles. It's not to change yourself, to change the person. It's not our responsibility to change the campus or change the world. Our responsibility is only to go. Where do we go? To God. His commandment actually is a call for us to have a relationship, which goes back to His call for us to actually be in a relationship with Him. Lastly, is time-bound. Hebrews 11:1 says here, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Hope is for the future. faith is now. We don't actually hope for things that are actually right here, right now. Lord, I hope for water. Oh, thank you, Lord. But faith is believing that the things that we hope for in the future will actually come to pass. Before, personal experience. The moment I got to know who God is, I was actually in a bad place. I was in an ungodly relationship. I was in a place where actually I know the words of God, but I don't have the courage to obey God. Lord, I know your promises for me are great, but here I am, Lord. I cannot surrender to you this relationship I have right now, the comfort where I am right now. I know that you want me to go, Lord, but where I am right now, I'm already good with this. But the moment I decided to obey God, I'm telling you, it was never easy. Is it actually difficult? I tell you, it's yes. Walking with God is difficult. Will my life become butterflies and rainbows and unicorns the moment I say yes to God? No. Am I going to be perfect? No. Am I going to be persecuted? Maybe. Then, Mav, if you're telling me that nothing in my circumstance would actually change the moment I say yes to God, then why would you want me to say yes? I'm telling you, why? Because life is actually hard. It's not going to be easy and it's not going to be fair simply because you play fair. But would you rather be in this place of hopelessness, in this difficult life that you have right now on your own? Or would you rather be in the same place with a hope that God has given you, a life that God is promising you? Would you rather be in this place of death, of depression, or would you rather be in a place of love? You decide. It's always our decision. To end, let me just give you a story. I entitled this story, Push Me and Vess. There was a person, a hardworking person, a comfortable person, and God woke him up in the middle of the night saying, hey, let's give this person a name. Mayas. Mayas, can you wake up, stand? I am the Lord your God, and this is my promise for you. Everything that is good, everything that is pleasing, and everything that is perfect, I am going to give to you. If and only if you are going to push this heavy rock. So the man, having an experience of who God actually is, the greatness of God, the wonders, the marvelous presence of God, actually said, okay, Lord, I'm going to push. So he pushed and pushed day and night. He sleeps, he rests. The next day he pushed. He pushes and pushes and sleeps and push and push. When days become weeks and months, and he is growing tired and bored and all this stuff, he thought that he is to move the rock. And then the lies of the enemy came. The Satan came. Are you really sure that you can move that rock? You are not worthy. You're not even strong enough to push that rock. But guess what? The man actually has been discouraged right there. The lies crept into his life. And he eventually stopped. I won't stop. No, I won't stop. And he eventually stopped pushing. And then God came back to Mayas. Mayas, what happened? Why are you there? Why aren't you pushing the rock no more? God, I'm not strong enough. Never in my lifetime can I ever move that rock. But God said to Mayas, who told you to move that rock? I never mentioned that you are to move that rock. You only are to push. And guess what? Look at yourself right now. You're more muscular. You have calluses on your hands and feet. And you are a much better person than the moment I called you and pushed that rock. The same promise goes for all of us. Sometimes we think that when God promises us that we are to grow, we are to be perfect, we are to be consistent in the things that we do. And the moment that we fall, the moment that we actually failed in obeying God's word, we immediately stop thinking that right now we are unworthy of His promises. I'm telling you right now, I'm telling myself, in the first place, we have never been worthy for the promises of God. We are all sinners. We are all sinners. And Romans 3:23 says that all has fallen short of the glory of God. No matter how tall you are, you still fall short of the glory of God. But still, the gift of God is the free life in Christ Jesus. So how do we respond to the promises of God? Since we are all in this generation, we would want things to be shorter, easier, then let's make it easier. Remember these four letters, this acronym right here, OOTD. Opt to read His word right here. In order for us to have faith unwavered, to fight off the temptations that we have right now, to actually believe in God, to actually be willing to go, we are to know who God is. We are to know His promises. We are to know what we are to do in order for us to love others greater than ourselves, to love God above all else, and all those things. We are to read the Word of God. Never in our lifetime can we be perfect, but we can be better. The goal of Christianity has never been perfection, but it's always progress. There's such thing as falling forward. Yes, God always forgives, but He gives grace to those people that are willing to fall forward. The moment you are called by God and you start walking, you stumble down, you stand up again, then we continue to walk. No matter how many times we fall down, but we are to have that grit to stand back up again, knowing that we have a great God that backs up us. We are to stand up and try it again. We may fall after one day, stand back again, but having that intensity, that consistency, reading God's word. It may take 2 days again for us to fall, 3 days again, but guess what? We are to always fall forward. The moment we fail, never stop. In Christianity, again, it's never about you or your ability. It is about God. Secondly, obey His word. His word, or the word of God, is Jesus Himself. And actually, I tell you, there's a trick to this. Not really a trick, but there are only two commandments in the Bible. First is to love God above all else and to love people greater or the same way you love yourself. All other commandments fall to these two categories. And if you have this in mind, to look at others better than yourself, to serve rather than waiting for others to serve you, then you are actually obeying His word. It's not actually hard. Obeying is having hope, having that mindset that we already have the victory in the end. Thirdly, trust His promises. How can you trust Him more? Know Him more. Right? The same way that we can trust other people more, we get to know who the person is. So we are to go back to who God is and trust His promises. And lastly, do it now. So if you are this person, I believe that God has actually been working in your life. The past weeks, the past days, the past months has actually been coming to this very moment where you have an opportunity to be called by God. And right now, God is calling you. If you don't know who God is yet, then it's never too late. God always calls us daily. And our walk with God, our relationship with God is not just a one-time big event. Na parang, I gave my life to God 3 months ago. Right now, I'm continuously failing. Or 3 years ago, 3 decades ago. Whenever, you can always go back to who God is. Again, you are not that powerful to disqualify yourself. You are never more powerful than God's ability to forgive you. And He wants to have a personal relationship with you right now. Now, if you are a person and you don't have a relationship with God right now, I invite you to open your heart right now to receive God as you are. Again, you never need to be perfect or good enough to qualify yourself in order for you to have a relationship with God. You only need to give that peace that you are not willing to give God. You simply need to surrender. And God is going to give everything, the best of the best, for all of you. What's the catch? There's no catch. But there's just love and grace from God. Are you willing to receive the promises of God? What's the cost? The thing that you are holding on to right now, that you know is not actually good in your life. It's a great exchange. Businessmen, that's a great exchange that we can actually give to God. But are you willing? God is more concerned with that 0.1% that you're not willing to give to God rather than the 99.9% that you have actually given to Him already. So right now, let's offer that thing to God and receive. Be humble enough to receive God's forgiveness. And also, let's simply believe the promises of God. One testimony that I can actually give, or actually two, let me give you two testimonies. Before, I told you that I was actually in a bad place. I was in an ungodly relationship. And the moment that I gave it to God and told God, Lord, okay, Lord, I'm going to surrender to you, but I'm going to believe in this word that you have right here. The first time God promised, or God said in the Bible, that there is such thing as something that is not good. Every time He creates, He says that it is good. But the first time He said it is not good, is it is not good for man to be alone. Okay, Lord. So, Lord, it is your will for me to get married, to actually have the best person for me to serve or to have. And 3 weeks ago, almost 4 weeks tomorrow, I have been married. Ta-da! Grace of God. It's never about me being perfect, never about me having all the perfect qualifications of a guy, but I married, for me, the best person for me. And also, the second thing, I pray that one day, the moment I heard the call of God, is for my parents to actually hear the gospel. And the same promise that God has actually given to Abraham, that I am to bless families because of you, I present to you. I have right here my nanay. And it's the very first time he heard me preach, or even right here in front, sharing the gospel. And this right here for me is a miracle. Whatever God is promising you right now, hold on to it. In times of difficulties, hold on to the promises of God. Never listen to the facts around you, but listen to the truth of God. Again, in order for us to have that unwavering faith, is for us to hold on to an unwavering God.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.